Yep.
Good morning. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While all our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Okay, so this is the last week of our series looking at the church. And so for some of you who haven't been here, let me just give you a quick recap of just a couple of things. So one of the things that we saw is that the universal church, the global church, is the people of God. Regardless of where you're from or where you live, it's all those who've chosen to believe and to trust in God and to follow in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ. And the mission of that broad people of God is to glorify him and to make him known. But we also looked that the church, the people of God, also consists of local church communities like us, each one being unique in its own way and having a unique mission, still to glorify God and to make him known, but to do it in a way that's relevant to the church community you're part of, as well as relevant to the community around you. To know best how to do that, over recent months, we've engaged in lots of research and conversations and lots of prayer, and Paria shared some of what we'd found last week about what we discovered were the felt needs of the local community, as well as some possible ways that as a church we could help to meet some of those needs. This week, 35 of the English class students that were here on Tuesday did a bit of an excursion around our property. And we got them to answer some of those same questions that we've done in the broader community. What do they think are the felt needs? What do they love about the local community? How do they think this church could use its property to help meet those needs? What was incredibly encouraging was how much their responses, what they wrote down, overlapped with what we've already seen and what we've already discovered, which again just affirms the direction that we're going in. It was the same words that we've heard from the community and that have come up through our prayer and our research being said back to us from the English class students. So that was really encouraging. But this morning I want us to consider where we fit in God's mission. I want us to consider what role we are each called to play in making this mission of God become reality. in making him known, in glorifying him, in doing it in ways that are relevant to us, but relevant to our community. And to do that, I want us to consider another image from the New Testament. If you remember last week, we finished with that image from Luke 13 of the seed that's cared for after being planted by the gardener and grows into a big tree that provides security and safety and rest for the birds, likened to the church. Well, this week, the image is actually the image of the church being likened to a human body. It comes from the passage that Rob read out to us earlier. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. In Ephesians 1, Paul says the church is the body of Christ. Now, we've just had communion, and Helen's told us that this bread represents the body of Christ, and she's right. But there's another meaning of it as well. The body of Christ is actually talking about the people of God. So how does that work? Well, I thought a lot about this, about how to try and explain it, so bear with me. When Jesus Christ entered our world, he took on a physical body, like what you and I have. And through his physical body, he demonstrated the love of God. The most clear way he did that was through his sacrificial death on the cross. But then after his death, he rose again and he ascended into heaven, so he wasn't physically here anymore. But he still continued to demonstrate his work in the world, but now instead of doing it through his own physical body, now he does it through his people. He does it through the men and the women who've chosen to believe and to follow him. So that's us. We're the people of God, which means we embody Christ. We demonstrate the love of God, and we do it clearly and boldly when we function as the body of Christ, when we function as his hands, his feet, and his mouth. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. The image of a human body that Paul gives us actually helps us to understand better what that looks like. Because like a human body, the church body is made up of many different parts. And when I look around this room, I see many different parts. We don't look the same. We don't all have the same function. Jesus is always going to be the head of our body. Some churches function as though a pastor is the head, or a group of elders is a head, or someone with a loud voice is a head. But the body of Christ, our head, will always be Christ. He is always the one who will lead us, who will guide and direct us through the presence and the power of his Spirit. But we make up the rest of that body. Paul says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Paul wrote these words to a church that was struggling with inner conflict and disunity. It was a church with some significant problems. And he wanted them to remember that although they looked different, although some of them were Jews and some were Gentiles, although some of them were slaves and some of them were free, together they were the body of Christ. He was calling for unity, reminding them that it's together that they're the body of Christ. What does that body look like? Well, it looks like us. Lots of different parts all joined together to make one whole, and might I say very good-looking, body. Like the human body, every part is needed. Paul says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You know, I often hear people putting themselves down because they don't think that, because they think that what they have to offer is too small, that what they have to offer is unimportant. I hear people say that they're not really needed because they're not trained, or they're not qualified, or they're not on staff. But the New Testament makes no distinction between clergy and laity, between those who are paid and those who serve as volunteers. It makes no difference if your contribution is big or small, if you're old or young. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 4 days or 40 years. God says we are all needed for His church, His body, to grow. And He also says we are all equally valued. All needed and all equally valued in the sight of God. So that's whether you lead a time of worship or you clean the toilets. It's whether you preach or you simply meet to encourage someone during the week. It's whether you lead a connect group or maybe you care for our kids. Every part of us is needed and is valued. And in the same way that we need all our different bits of the human body, if we're going to function well, same with the church body. God's design is that every part of the body is every part is dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. I mean, if you think about it, is my ear or my nose, are they more important because you can see them than my blood or my liver? Of course not. Well, it's the same in the church. We see the music team. We see the person who's up front welcoming or reading the Bible or preaching. But there's so many parts that we don't see. So many parts we don't see, but they are also important and needed. Those who clean and maintain our property. Those who mow and look after the gardens and the grounds. Those who visit the sick, teach English, cook meals, spend time with someone during the week just to pray with them, to encourage and support them. God says every part of His body is needed. And it's only as we all contribute and do our bit that the body of Christ can function as it was intended to. Where do you fit? How is God expecting you to contribute to this church, to His body? Can I say the answer is going to look different for all of us? It'll look different for all of us, but we all have something to contribute. And when we all share what God's given us to contribute, we build up the body of Christ. We enable it to be healthy. We enable it to function well and then to be a blessing to the people around us. Don't fall into the trap of comparing yourself. I say that as much to myself as I do to you. It's so easy to compare ourselves to others, of thinking that we don't have as much to offer as someone else, or that we can't do something the way someone else does it, but we're not called to. Don't think that you're inferior in some way, that you're not good enough. And I know we fall into the trap of thinking that because we're older, or because we're younger, or because we're new to faith, or because we don't speak English as well as someone else, or because of our time constraints, that we don't have as much to offer. God doesn't make mistakes. He never makes mistakes. So if he's brought you here, he's brought you here for a reason. He's brought you here to be part of this body. It's not just so you can make up the numbers. It's so that you can contribute in some way. Because you're too valuable to God to just be something that makes up the numbers. In verse 18 of chapter 12 that Rob read out, Paul tells us that God has put each part just where he wants it. You and I are made exactly the way that God wants us. And we're right where he wants us to be. Do you think it was an accident that Joseph and Pula walked past this church when they were looking for somewhere to call home? Or that Sarah and the girls walked past one day, saw the doors open, heard the singing and felt compelled to come in? God doesn't make mistakes. He has us where he wants us to be. And he does that for a reason. It's so that we can each contribute, so that his body can function well, so that we can be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus in this community. When we come together as one body, it's the person of Jesus Christ that's seen. Paul writes, when we are fitted together perfectly, with each part doing its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And isn't that what Jesus said? That's how people will know you're my disciples, by your love. When we are all fitted together perfectly, doing our parts, we show love. We show that we're in this together. You know, Paul calls us partners. Partners working together with God. Supporting and caring for each other, sharing our joys and our sorrows, sharing our good times and our not so good. Partners together doing the good work that God prepared in advance for us to do. Why? So that we can glorify God and make him known. So that through us, people will see Christ, that they'll know God. And we will demonstrate his love for our world just like he did when he was physically here. Cameron's going to come up now and just share briefly with us about what it means to be a member or a partner of this church body. But as he comes up, I want to leave you with these three questions for you to be thinking about. How are you acting as a partner in this church? How are you using the gifts and the abilities and the passions and the life experience that God's given to you so that you can contribute and bless this church and the community around us? Where do you fit into our life as the people of God and into the mission that he has for us?
I really don't like standing up there because it means that I'm up here and I'm looking down. So I'm going to mix it up because we're a family. And particularly this family, there is no hierarchy. As Chris has mentioned, we're all important. Everyone has a valid contribution to make. And so we got to get rid of this sense that, you know, some people are more important and others are not. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. We are all important. Everyone has a contribution to make. We'll come back to these questions at the end. So I've got the privilege at the end of the message to just kind of tie all this together and to help us understand what is membership? And please jump in if you've got an idea. I'm guessing membership for most of us is a word that we're pretty familiar with. For example, my daughter Hayley belongs to a netball team. Graham is a member of his four-wheel drive club. Morel, you're here, aren't you? Yeah, you go to the Curves gym. Yeah, so she's a member of her gym. And I'm sure for any of us, if we open our wallet or our purse, you probably find a whole bunch of different membership cards or loyalty programs. Members and members and memberships, they're everywhere. But then let's ask one question. What is it that memberships have in common? Can anyone throw an answer up? What is it that memberships have in common, Merle? Belonging. Exactly. I just did a quick Google search and this is what it said. Members typically share something in common. Membership is the state of belonging. Belonging to or being a part of a group or an organisation. The state of being a member. Okay, fair enough. But are all memberships the same? What do we think? No, they're all different. My next question, so what makes church membership different? Or more specifically, what makes being a member of this church different? First thing I'll say, it's more than just having something in common. Memberships out there are all kind of, their common thread is that people belong because they want to do something or they share something in common. Yes, we have a few things in common, but we also have a lot of things that we don't have in common. So firstly, we, you only have to look around at you and I guarantee you'll see someone that looks different, that's come from a different place, speaks a different language. We are a diverse but unlikely group of people who love Jesus. Unlikely? Where else would you find a collection of cultures and nationalities in one room? I can't think of too many places. One thing that Maddie noticed the first morning that she came into our church at the start of the year or late last year. She comes from Taree, which is a town maybe 3 hours or so north of Sydney. And her biggest observation was the diversity and the different looking people and cultures that she'd never seen before anywhere else in her life. That makes us different. What else makes us different? Our relationship with Jesus is what unites and transforms us. It changes everything. The words above the screen up there, one in Christ. This sense of unity, of sharing something in common. Yes, other memberships may have things in common, but we share something that is universally transcending and overcoming all barriers, cultures, nationalities. We share our relationship with Jesus. That is what unites us. Thirdly, as Chris has mentioned, everyone is important and has a valuable contribution to make. Other clubs, other organisations and memberships, I'm sure there's a bit of a hierarchy. Some people are gifted to do some things, and you know your place. What is different about this church and churches specifically is that everyone is valuable, everyone is equal, everyone has a contribution to make. And it's together that we can use our gifts and our abilities to partner with God. This sense of partnering, incredibly rich and powerful word. Partnering means that we all are making a contribution. And as we established in week one of this series, we, you and me, every one of us, we are the church. The hands and the feet of Jesus brought together in this specific community to share life and faith. And as a member of this church, we are part of an even bigger family. It also occurred to me, and some people, the church is the only family they have for various reasons. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. This sets us apart. This makes us different. I love this verse because it speaks clearly of equality and inclusion in God's kingdom. Okay, then what does membership mean at West Ryde Community Church? I'll make it really easy. Membership at West Ryde Community Church consists of people who have professed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. They've accepted a statement of beliefs which are contained in our governing document called the Constitution. And the third thing is that they are baptised. And typically our tradition, as established by what the Bible teaches, is by full immersion. So for many, perhaps you've not seen it, underneath this little cover is a little pool, a very big bath, in fact. And so when we practice baptism, we actually go all the way under. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay, so that's what membership very simply means. But what does that imply? It is basically that we are committed to three things. Again, these are found in our constitution: that we attend regularly, that we participate and contribute to the day-to-day running of the church, and that we're also contributing financially in the way that that we are able. Okay? So in summary, membership in this church represents a genuine desire and commitment to be a part of a living, growing community of believers. Membership creates a sense of belonging. Remember the first thing that we said that all memberships have? This sense of belonging. Membership creates a sense of belonging as together, all of us, together we learn and grow and support one another as a family. All right, so then why become a member? Again, I'm just going to run through these. They should be very obvious, and the series I've really enjoyed, Chris. It's been fantastic. I've learned many things. But to wrap it all up, why be a part of this community? Why be a member? Why be engaged? Well, number one, it's a way in which we can grow our faith, our love, and our knowledge of Jesus. And we do that when we meet together, when we connect during the week, when we are involved, not just what happens on Sunday, but through the week. That's where we grow. That's how we are relevant and active and connecting with people. Why become a member? Because it's a way of serving and blessing the church family as well as our local community. We don't just exist for ourselves. In fact, that's not why we exist. We exist to be a light in the community that God has placed us, shaped in exactly the right way. We are unique, specific for this community. Why become a member? It's a great way of giving and receiving encouragement. I come on Sunday, I get encouraged by seeing people and meeting new people. I meet during the week with another group of people, I receive and give encouragement. It helps us to be accountable to one another. When we commit to serving together in this way, it keeps us close, gives us the permission to keep one another accountable in what we do, and to be checking on another person. How are you going in your faith? How is that struggle? Can I pray for you? This sort of sense of looking out for one another. Membership in this church body is a practical means by which we can share tasks and responsibilities. There's so many things that we don't see that are required to keep the church running. We get to participate in the decision making. This particular church has what we call congregational governance, and that means each of the members have a say and are able to be a part of the decision-making process. It is not a hierarchy. It is very much a shared responsibility. We have the opportunity to contribute in so many different ways, so many different ways. And not just the things that you think that you can do. Being part of this church family helps you to grow and be good at things that you didn't even know you could do. It challenges us and helps us to discover new things that God has prepared you to do. And lastly, this is my favorite, it's exciting. It's exciting knowing that we are partnering with God in His mission. His mission. And that is reaching our local community. I was chatting to Martin before the service, and I said, it's a little bit like doing a really hard jigsaw puzzle, maybe one of those big 1,000 pieces. You know, they're everywhere. We don't know which piece to try. But very, very slowly, God is putting these pieces together. That makes it exciting. Thinking and contemplating what God's going to do next and how He's going to use each of us to do those things. And it's a little bit scary, of course, because we don't see what the finished product looks like. But He's given us the pieces and He's given us what we need. We just need to trust Him and have faith. All right. Why does it matter? I like asking why questions. I was once a why child, I'm told. Firstly, commitment is becoming increasingly rare in our society. I don't know whether I've just missed what's happened in the last 20 years, but as a society, we're more cynical than ever. We don't naturally trust people or organisations, and that's sad. So commitment these days is becoming increasingly rare. So when we commit to something that we really believe in, people notice. Becoming a member is significant. It instills a sense of priority and importance to being active and engaged in the life of our church. It matters because when the church grows, ministries thrive and people are committing to serve out of their gifting and their natural abilities. It's a beautiful intersection of people of diverse backgrounds coming together and contributing. And when we see that happening, ministries thrive, they grow. Fruit develops. We see people that we haven't seen before. We see people making decisions. And lastly, because what matters to God should matter to us. I'm going to finish with a story, just a couple of brief examples of what it looks like in this context to be an active member and participant in the life of our church. The first one's close to home, my wife Cindy. For those that wouldn't have known her, well, only I've known her prior to coming into this church community. I knew Cindy as very quiet, very reserved, very conservative. But since we've been married, since we've had kids, it's all changed. Cindy's come out of her shell. She runs the playgroup on Tuesdays. She does a lot of things for the church. She does all of the bookkeeping. There's so many things that Cindy's done that she wouldn't have done 20 years ago. And that's because she's in this church family and been encouraged to step out and do things out of her comfort zone. That's what being part of a community and being engaged in this church has done for her. The second person, your mum, David, Irene Lim, for those that know Irene. She works on the weekends, but she's very much a part of our church family. She's here every Tuesday with playgroup. She's here every Thursday morning praying with Chris and I and Morel. And she's one that has also stepped up and done things outside of her natural inclination. The example I'm going to give is that for those that knew Stephen Cann, he ran a small Bible study group before playgroup every Tuesday. Stephen moved from the church, and there was a need to continue that group. And Irene was not sure. She really wasn't comfortable, and after a little bit of encouragement and coaxing, now she's enjoying that. She catches up with Bodu and Catherine, and she's also recently connected with someone who's very much outside of our church family, who left a message on the answering machine of the church seeking to meet with someone. Irene was able to do that. So again, another example what membership and being part of this church looks like. It grows you, it extends you, it helps you discover new things that you didn't know you could do. The last person is Maddie. She's over at the hall now, helping with the children's program. Maddie, as I mentioned earlier, is someone that's so keen to be involved. She's seen so many things in the last 6 months since she's been with us, and now she's engaged in the children's program. She's excited because she's really keen to have a go and try preaching, so we'll be hearing from her sometime soon. She's involved in the music team, and I'm sure there's other things that I can't think of. But she's, at the moment, studying at Plunge, at Morling College in the Plunge program. So God is using her, encouraging her, and growing her. So she's another example of what committing to a church family has done for her. She's exposed to so many different things. And so when we think about what membership and being part of this body might look like, I can just rattle off any number of things that that exist today. These are all familiar to you. Our ESL program, our friendship club, our play group, the sound roster, our gardening and cleaning rosters, children's ministry, administration, welcoming, property, home visits, connect groups, music team, the list goes on. Choosing to be a committed member of West Ryde Community Church, it demonstrates genuine desire to be part of a living, growing community of believers. Living, growing community of believers. It creates a sense of belonging and ownership and responsibility to love and support our church family and this community. And choosing to be a committed member of this church reminds us of who we are and what God has called us to be. This is who we are. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That makes me feel great to know that God has chosen me. God has chosen each of you. We are his special possession. So we come back to that challenge that that Chris left us with at the start. How am I partnering with God through this church body? How am I using my gifts and abilities, passions and life experience God has given to me to contribute and bless this church and the community around us? So two questions. Where do I fit? Where do I fit? What does my contribution look like? So I leave those with you. Why don't I pray? Lord, you don't do things in half measures, and you don't do things by accident. Lord, we've seen you work this morning. We've been encouraged by Paula and Joseph's decision to formalise their membership in West Ryde Community Church. We've heard examples of people that have committed to serving and have grown in their faith and in their abilities because of committing to serve you in this place. And we've been encouraged over the past 4 weeks with Chris's clear biblical teaching of why we exist, who we are, and what you've called us to do in local mission in this particular part of the world. And Lord, today we've thought and considered what membership might look like in the context of this church. Lord, I pray that each of us can answer those questions. What does it look like for me? How can I contribute? And it's different for everyone, and you've gifted us in different ways. But you've brought all of these pieces together in just the right way. Help us to be brave, to be obedient, and to trust you. We thank you for this church family and for the way in which you are using us. And I pray that we will all take seriously the call to be committed people of God in this group, in this community here today. We ask in Jesus' name.